Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship, meditative worship here at Strongsville United Methodist Church. Tonight, we have a great opportunity to celebrate God's creation. We're going to hear from Genesis, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the creation story and also God's promises. Through the COVID crisis, a lot of us have felt like we've lost a lot of things, but one of the things that we can look out our window and see, nothing's changed. God's creation is still here. It's still with us. We see the sky. We see the stars. We see the sun every day. God is enduring, and his creation is enduring. He created all of us because he wanted a relationship with us, and he wanted to share his love with us and for us to share our love with him throughout eternity. So crises will pass, and we have an opportunity tonight to reconnect a little bit with God's creation and remember where we come from. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together for this opportunity to share in our love for you and to share the love that you feel for us. Each one of us has different things weighing on us. Each one of us has different things going on in our lives, but we realize that you want to be our Father. You want to wrap your arms around us. You want to embrace us, and that gives us peace. And Father, we want to enjoy that peace tonight. We want to enjoy it in a time of prayer and in a time of meditation. Father, we want to get close to you as we enjoy your creation. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to worship. The scripture reading for tonight comes from the 9th chapter of Genesis, beginning at the 11th verse. Be at peace as you listen for the Holy One. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed in the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." The message that God gives us in Genesis chapter 9, just to give you a little bit of context, Noah and his family were the only survivors of a global flood. God had made his creation. He had started from utter darkness and nothing. And he started with the heavens and the earth. And I don't know if you remember the origin story, really in Genesis chapter 1:1, where he talks about he created the heavens and the earth, and there was water covering the earth. There was no land yet. The land didn't come until a couple verses later. So imagine floating in space, a ball of water. And you think about the creation of that much water. God, the Creator, built from atoms, oxygen and hydrogen, times millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions. I don't know how big the number could be. But he created a planet that was completely surrounded by water. And then he started to divide the water with land. Then we came as creation. God's plan all along was to create a creation where he could develop a relationship with us. We were actually the objective of his creation. But he started with water. He started with a planet covered in water. And when he created us, like I said, for relationship. He created us because he wanted to love us and he wanted us to love him. But he didn't do what a lot of people think gods should do in today's world. They think gods should fix all the problems, solve all the issues, cure all the diseases, prevent all the accidents. Essentially, they want God to be the divine puppeteer, making us do what he wants us to do so that we're always safe, we're eternally wrapped in bubble wrap. But he didn't do that. That's not the God that we worship. That's not the God we know. That's not the God that the Bible reveals. The God the Bible reveals is a little different. He allows things to happen. And one of the big things that he allows to happen is he allows people to have choice. He allows us to decide whether we want to have a relationship with him or not. He allows us to decide whether we want to love him or not, and whether we want to appreciate the magnitude of his creation that he's made abundantly clear to all generations. In doing that, the net result was, early on, the world became very evil, right? The reason for the flood was that the world had chosen evil. And God decided that he would just wipe it out and start all over again. And God did that, but he preserved a new Adam, if you will. The seventh generation past Adam was Noah. So Adam lived a long time, but he didn't live long enough that he knew Noah. He died about 150 years before Noah was born. But it was only seven generations since the beginning of the earth, since the first man, that God wiped the earth clean and preserved his people through Noah. He used water, just as he had done to create the earth initially. He used water to completely cover and surround the earth. But he made provision for Noah and his family. He taught them how to build an ark. He gave them the materials to build an ark. And he preserved them. And he also preserved all the rest of creation on the ark. That was the first major covenant that God made between himself and man. It's a one-sided covenant. He didn't ask anything in return. He stated, look, I'm never going to do this again. And we won't go, it's probably another lesson to talk about why God would have even done it once. But he did it once and he promised never to do it again. And guess what? God keeps his promises. And that's extremely valuable to us because it underpins everything else in Scripture in terms of what we know about God. The promises that God makes, God's going to keep. God chose these eight survivors, and he made this promise, and it wasn't the first time or the last time that he had used water in his creation. There were some other times, specifically in the Old Testament, he used water to save the Israelites. If you remember when the Egyptian army was chasing them out of Egypt, and he parted the Red Sea for them. He affected the water in such a way that it allowed the people of Israel to escape But then he closed the water on the chasing or the following Egyptian army to protect the people of Israel. Water was a symbol of commitment. In 1 Samuel, we know about the people of Israel turning away from God and following foreign gods. And they finally come to their senses and they finally determine that they're going to come back to God. And as a symbol of their return to God, they pour water out on the ground, and it's a symbol of their commitment to God, is that they use water. Elijah, you remember Elijah was encountering the priests of Baal, who were the idol worshipers, who had kind of overtaken much of the people of Israel and much of the people in their region. And Elijah was challenging them. Elijah was a prophet sent by God to try and turn Israel back to him. So the prophets of Baal, who a lot of the people of Israel were following, challenged Elijah, and they said, okay, well, you know, we need to prove whose God is bigger and better. So Elijah said, let's build two fire pits, and let's not light them. Let's just build two fire pits, and whichever God can light the fire first, that's the true God. That's the most powerful God. And so they built their fire pits, and then Elijah, when they're done, says, pour water on mine. And then pour more water, and completely cover everything combustible on this fire pit. Cover it with water. I want it to be so wet that nothing can possibly burn. And then God brought down fire from heaven, evaporated all the water on his fire pit, and it was the only one to burn. And the followers of Baal, they prayed and they worshiped, and they danced and they did all kinds of things to try and get their fire to light, but their God was a false God. He wasn't the true God. He wasn't the God that we know. He wasn't the God that keeps promises. God wasn't going to let Elijah hang out there. God used water as a symbol of just how great he is. He's so great, he controls all the elements and he can overcome everything like that. Jesus walked on water. Jesus invited Peter to walk on water, and Peter could walk on water. Whoop, watch it again. Sorry, folks. Peter could walk on water as long as he maintained his faith. When did Peter sink? You remember? When he took his mind off of who he was and where he was and who Jesus was and started concentrating on the storm that was around them, and he got scared and he sunk. Faith has the ability, and belief in Jesus and his promises has the ability to do amazing things, and water was used as a symbol there. Water finally is used in the last chapter of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Water is a symbol of everlasting life, and it flows from the chair, from the seat of Jesus, from his throne. I don't know if you remember this, but in Revelation it talks about the fact that all the seas will disappear in the end. It'll be all land and no water, except for the water that comes from the seat of Christ, the living water, the living water he promises in the gospel messages. So water, it's got a lot of different mentions. In the Bible, it's mentioned 722 times. It's mentioned more times than better known words or better thought of words like faith. It's mentioned more than faith or hope. It's mentioned more than prayer. It's mentioned more than worship. Water is very important to God, and he uses it to symbolize a lot of things. He started with water when he created the earth, and he restarted with water in the great flood. He makes us from water. 2/3 of our body is water, right? So water is very important to us. We can't live more than 3 days without water. The reason for water playing such a major role, it's important to understand. God wants to have that constant reminder of who he is and who we are to him. Water was his first creation. We are his creation, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. It's why we use water in baptism, because it represents a new relationship. It represents a commitment to God. God made his commitment to us through the use of a rainbow. And God wants to reinforce that commitment constantly. We have the opportunity every day when we look out the window and we see rain or snow, or, you know, we get a drink of water, or we wash ourselves, or we clean something with water. Water is involved in so many aspects of our life. It's called the universal solvent by chemists. It's really important. It's really important to God. And that's why he made it such an important part of creation. And that's why he made it such an important part of our lives. Here's where it's important to us. It gives us an opportunity in every interaction that we have with water. It gives us the opportunity to pray and to commune with God, to thank him for his creation, and to be amazed. None of us have created water. None of us could create water. None of us could cover the earth in water. And none of us could create such a great relationship as what God has shown with us. The song Amazing Grace tonight, you know, that amazing grace is very appropriate. It's well deserved. Most of us have been involved in so many things or done so many things that we're not proud of, but God has amazing grace. He is our Father. He wants relationship with us, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. And as long as we have that relationship with him, all is forgiven and all is fresh and starts anew. So let's pray. Father, we see your creation every day in water and the signs of your lasting promise. You've never again destroyed all living things, but now we see it flourish. It reminds us of how much you love us. Your water sustains the blessing of your creation. The sign of a rainbow is the seal of your covenant. We look forward to water flowing from the holy seat of your Son. Let us always be mindful of your promises to us, our promises to you through baptism, and the living water from your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.